what an honor and a pleasure to be here today. First of all, let me just say a brief word about the People's Nonviolent Response Coalition. It was formed after the September 11th attacks to put nonviolence and the value, the core value of nonviolence, at the center of our response. I'll just read you the first paragraph of our Principles of Unity. More violence is not the answer. We join with all Americans in the world as we mourn the deaths caused by the attacks of September 11th and as we continue to feel the destruction tearing at the fabric of our nation. We oppose military retaliation, which will only result in the loss of more innocent lives abroad and make us more vulnerable at home. We denounce all forms of terrorism. We call instead for dialogue and diplomacy, for restraint and self-reflection, and for ending rather than escalating the cycle of violence. We seek justice, not vengeance, through established principles of international law. We seek a lasting global peace through social and economic equity. We call for a consistent, fair, and just foreign policy. We are committed to upholding freedom and democratic principles through nonviolent means. Now, Representative Kucinich has provided us with a magnificent vision. And I read the legislation. It is a really tremendously well-crafted, thoughtful, detailed piece of legislation. But the question I'm here to raise today is, how do we get there from here? This is a serious question. I've talked to a number of people in the peace movement, and so it is my unenviable task today to gently raise some rather provocative questions about the Department of Peace. I offer these questions and comments with the greatest respect, admiration, and love for both Representatives Kucinich and Lee. So, the first question is, if the Department of Peace were to come into being, how could we prevent its co-optation? Now, there are some historical precedents, not at the cabinet level, but the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, for example, which was created under John Kennedy in 1961 and actually was a very strong, articulate advocate for nuclear disarmament during those years. However, during the Reagan years, the agency's ability to serve as an advocate for nuclear disarmament was greatly diminished. And under growing pressure from the Republican Congress in April of 1997, the Clinton administration announced plans to terminate the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency's independent status and to consolidate the agency as a bureau of the State Department. And the person who was the head of that bureau under Clinton, named John Hollum, was bad enough, arguing that we needed a comprehensive test ban treaty in order to maintain U.S. global nuclear superiority. But his successor, John Bolton, is even worse. He's really one of the princes of Armageddon. Under his tenure, the U.S. has announced its intention to withdraw from the ABM treaty and has rejected an internationally negotiated protocol intended to strengthen the Biological Weapons Convention. So there's an example of an agency that was started under very auspicious circumstances and which went down the tubes. The U.S. Institute for Peace was signed into law by President Reagan in 1984, and it is authorized by Congress and funded by Congress supposedly as an independent, nonpartisan federal institution that's insulated from political pressures. Its 15-member board of directors is appointed by the president, and four federal officials serve ex officio. One of them is Douglas Feith, who's the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, who recently defended the Nuclear Posture Review. That's the report that appeared in today's paper to the Senate Armed Services Committee. There's nothing on their website about the war on terrorism. Nothing about South Asia came up under their publications, and so on. So again, here's an example of an agency that was started under a very regressive administration, the Reagan administration, and has stayed pretty irrelevant. So that's the first question. Now, the second question is, as an organizing venue, what is needed now? And in talking to folks again, we need our representatives to come to the district like you have today. to convince their constituent that these issues are matters of life and death, and to help us build a social movement that will put the underpinnings in place for when we do get to that Department of Peace. In a sense, maybe the Department of Peace comes at the end of the process and rather than at the beginning. So I think what we need is a practical, comprehensive agenda along with the vision and the long-term planning, which I wholeheartedly endorse. Now, without doing anything special, Congress can withhold funds for military spending. And let me just mention that the U.S. military budget request for fiscal year 2003 at nearly $400 billion is more than the combined totals of the next 26 countries. It is 34 and a half times bigger than the combined axis of evil. And this morning I added up the seven countries who are now targeted in the nuclear posture review, and it's 3 1/3 times bigger than the combined budgets of those seven countries. It's obscene. So what could these components of a progressive agenda include? Well, preventing a U.S. attack on Iraq, which seems to be imminent. Under international law, there is no such thing as preventative self-defense. The only legitimate justifications for attack, this is true, are self-defense, or, if approved by the United Nations Security Council, to maintain or restore international peace and security. Russia, China, and France, which are on the Security Council, are not prepared to authorize military action against Iraq, and therefore there is no basis in international law for an attack on Iraq. And that seems to be coming up soon. Second thing, you saw today's paper. I mean, imagine as a lifelong nuclear disarmament advocate, I wake up today in 2002 and I see U.S. Ways use of nukes. You know, I knew about this, but it was still shocking. The Nuclear Posture Review needs to be condemned today, immediately. Specifically, all activities need to be stopped, including concept development and conceptual design aimed at providing nuclear weapons with new or improved military capabilities. Specifically, the robust nuclear earth penetrator needs to be stopped. Specifically, the National Ignition Facility, the world's largest nuclear weapons research program under construction at Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, needs to be stopped. Specifically, research and development for conventional ballistic missiles, land-based missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, or sea-launched missiles needs to be stopped. All missile defenses need to be stopped, including specifically theater missile defenses, which are never talked about. Those are the forward-deployed ones, which are out there to protect U.S. troops, U.S. bases, and U.S. strategic assets, such as Saudi Arabia. We need to demand that the U.S. government immediately initiate multilateral negotiations on a nuclear weapons treaty. And actually, Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey, with whom Representative Kucinich will be doing one of these panels tomorrow, has introduced a non-binding resolution calling for just that. And then we need a missile control regime. This isn't something we've talked about a lot, but we've heard a lot about anti-missiles, missiles. Well, if we started with an immediate flight ban that encompasses both missiles and missile defense programs, and that applies to everybody, that means the axis of evil and the axis of evil in Washington, it's easily verifiable. So in short, I want to say that we need a Department of Peace, but we need some interim measures in the meantime. We need help organizing ourselves. We need help from our representatives to bring together all of our different, diverse issue constituencies. We need help from our members of Congress to educate the public. And I will close by citing a Kazakh anti-nuclear activist from Kazakhstan, Central Asia, where the Soviet Union had its principal nuclear test site. His name is Olzhas Suleymanov, and he was the leader of a huge anti-nuclear movement there in 1990, which actually succeeded in closing the Soviet Union's principal nuclear test site under communism. We haven't been able to close the Nevada test site under democracy. And he said, "It is time to reject the dictates of the Roman Empire. If you want peace, prepare for war. It is in time instead to say, if you want peace, prepare for peace. Thank you.